get the discussion started. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Taking your calls this final hour, going to, it's EJ, right? Fleegs, EJ Stewart is on at 2 a.m. And I just was watching a little bit of the NBA here with LeBron and the Lakers getting the win in the play-in tournament tonight against the T-Wolves. So the Lakers and Hawks each win the play-in game between the 7 and 8 seeds. So the Lakers will have the 7th spot in the West. The Hawks will have the 7th spot in the East. It is crazy to think that we're already here with the NBA postseason. I can't wait for it. You got the Knicks and their series getting underway on Saturday against the Cavs. We'll do more on that later on tonight. We're back on at 7 o'clock tonight, 7 to 12. And we'll do some NBA playoff preview. But you got the Knicks and Cavs. You have the Hawks, as we just said. They are now the 7th spot. And then in the West, you're going to have the Grizzlies and the Lakers in a nice 2-7 matchup. So now you'll have the Pelicans and Thunder play tonight and for the Western Conference. And then you have the Raptors and the Bulls. Loser goes home. Winner goes on to take on in the East between the Raptors and Bulls. Loser goes home. Winner takes on Miami, who lost to the Hawks. And then the same thing in the West, where you have the Thunder and the Pelicans. Loser goes home. Winner goes on to take on the T-Wolves, the loser from tonight. And then that game, or those games, will be played Friday to determine the final spot, the 8th seed in each conference. But it's fun to think about it with the Knicks, that they actually have a playoff series. These things, we talked about this a couple years ago, and we thought at the time that would be the beginning of hopefully a nice run for this team that can now be a consistent playoff team. And I do feel like that might be the case here now with this year, being that it's 2 out of 3. You know, 2 out of 3 seasons where the Knicks are in the playoffs, that just hasn't happened nearly enough over the last, you know, 2 decades plus. So it's nice to see that, you know, we're going to have playoff series here. These are the things that we used to live for in the 90s with the Knicks in the playoffs every year. Knicks-Cavs used to be a squash match. And it was that was a non-competitive first-round series, Knicks-Cavs. Now, it's going to be all the Knicks can handle. They will be the underdog, obviously not having home court against Cleveland. And hopefully Julius Randle is healthy. We know Jalen Brunson is feeling refreshed, and he's ready to go. And this should be, you know, maybe this will be a rare time when the Knicks actually win a playoff series. They've only won one in the last 25 years or so. Since, you know, they got bounced in that first round against the Raptors in the 2000-2001 season. One first round series win. One playoff series win since then. That was the 54-win Carmelo Anthony year. Anyway, the NBA playoffs, you know, underway with these playing games. I don't love the format. Now, I know it adds more intrigue. You're adding more games, so why not do it? Right? They have 2 games tonight, 2 games, well, 2 games last night, technically, 2 games tonight, and then 2 on Friday. You're guaranteed 6 extra playoff games just to get set for the playoffs. So, I mean, I guess it works to a certain extent. I'm a traditionalist, so I like it the old school way, 1 through 8, line it up, similar to the NHL. But, and because you have bad teams participating here. I mean, the Bulls aren't any good, and yet they're getting an opportunity to play for a playoff spot. The Bulls are under 500 this year at 40-42, and they could find themselves in. Same thing with the Thunder. You're getting a bad team in the mix for a playoff spot. Maybe not likely that they're going to win, but still. And you actually had the upset. It was funny last night, too, watching some of the TNT coverage. I saw it on social media, where you had the TNT crew with Barkley and Shaq talking about the Heat and Hawks matchup. And Barkley was saying he'd bet Shaq $1 billion that Miami would win that game. And Miami clearly the better team in the regular season. Atlanta was struggling. Atlanta 500 team. And no, the Hawks end up getting the win. And Miami could go from a team. Remember, we were talking about Miami stealing one of those spots from the Knicks not too long from the Knicks or Nets not too long ago, stealing one of those top six spots. And that's what we were thinking about Miami, as they just finished one game back of Brooklyn for the sixth seed. Now, all of a sudden, they're one loss away from going home, whether that be at the hands of the Bulls or the Raptors. Anyway, we get set for the NBA postseason, you know, as far as we go here on Saturday with the Knicks and Cavs game one at 6 p.m. And then you got the NHL not too far behind it, where a big game tonight, an essential playoff game tonight for the Islanders at UBS, where they're going to have to win that game, just get a point, and they get in the postseason. That would be a devastating loss. Fleej, give any thought to going to this game? I mean, this, you're a big Islander fan. This is a basic playoff game. You're going to all these Mets games. Why not go out to UBS tonight?
I can't make it out tomorrow, but I'll say this. If they don't win, it is the worst Islanders loss since I've been alive. And that's even with the chance that they might play Boston and just get wiped, you know, off right. in the first round. You cannot lose this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, Canadians aren't very good, and the Islanders at home, they get a mulligan after Pittsburgh somehow loses last night to the Blackhawks. I mean, this is a playoff spot.
A loss that for the Penguins is even worse than the Islanders and what they did Monday night against Washington.
Right.
Half of Washington's team showing up, and the Islanders losing that game as quickly as possible.
And not only do the Islanders want to win this game to get in, you also would like to get the seventh spot. So the Islanders right now also in a battle with Florida, who is in, but still could finish with fewer points than the Islanders. So the Islanders could kind of leapfrog them, because you don't want to face a team that lost 12 games all year long. I mean, that is ridiculous. 133 points. What's the most ever points scored? Do we know? I mean, 133?
I know they have the wins record. I have to check if they have the points
record. Dude, they've won 64 games. I mean, that is unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
And a big game for the Islanders on Tuesday night was the Devils winning, because it keeps the pressure on now the Hurricanes, and that's who Florida plays on Thursday. Now the Hurricanes need that game to make sure the Devils don't jump them and win the Metro.
Right, and I would assume that you're looking to avoid the Rangers. I mean, I'm not saying anybody's afraid of the Rangers, but you don't want to play the Rangers if you could avoid it. You want to win that division.
And then you also want to have home ice if you then get by
and have to
the
face
Rangers
each other.
And then you go play the Devils in the second round. You want home ice.
Right. I mean, it's a huge deal. You want to be able to win that division, right? Because it would be the Canes taking on the seventh seed, which could potentially be the Islanders, could potentially be the Panthers.
And the Bruins did set the record. They passed the 1976-77 Canadians, who had 132 points. So the Bruins, with a game to go, have 133. Although that Canadians team only played 80 games.
Unbelievable.
It's the record for anybody who's played 82 games. That was the Red Wings from 95-96, who had 131.
Wow. That's remarkable. I remember those teams, those Red Wings teams. This is unbelievable. 64 wins. What was the highest wins? What did the Red Wings have that year? Do you have it?
62. They passed that last week.
64 wins. I mean, I've known they...
And remember, back when those teams, they were ties, not just overtime losses getting you a point.
Right. So the ties would get you a point. Well, wait, now, so if you tied back then, right, in the 95-96 season, obviously you got a point. Now you can lose, well, you could, well,
now you can lose
and get
the
extra
point. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how
it might make you say this team is a little bit worse than those who, but I mean, those teams could have lost those games they tied if they went to a shootout.
Right. Yeah, that is true. I don't know. I don't know how to compare those two necessarily. But anyway, 133 points is 133 points. Anyway, slice it, 64 wins. They've lost 12.
That's the big one, 64 wins, which is already two more than anybody's ever done. That was that Red Wings team and the Lightning team that got swept out of the first round a couple years ago against the Blue Jackets.
Think about it this way. This is a team that has lost 12 games all year long, and they're going to have to lose 4 out of 7 in a short series. I mean, I usually don't pick the favorites going into a playoff. Somebody will knock them off, whatever. Hard to imagine anybody touching the Bruins. Now, it happens. Just like when you say, oh, it's hard to imagine this. Well, that's why sports are great. Upsets happen. However, man, going in, they are a monster. Point is, the Islanders don't want to be facing them. Plus, I want the Islanders in the Metro bracket. For our purposes, we need Carolina to get that, Carolina to win the division. I want the Devils-Rangers matchup in the first round, Carolina-Islanders in the first round, and then the Islanders to beat the Canes, and I want Islanders-Rangers in the second round. That's
I'm mostly with you. I want Islanders-Devils in the second round.
That's fine. From an Islanders perspective, I get it.
Although, listen, the Islanders-Rangers here, like, that would be epic. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, Islanders could win that series with Sorokin. I mean, anything's possible.
They match up well against the Rangers.
Right. And if you get past Carolina, who's to say the Islanders couldn't beat the Rangers? I don't think that they will. And look, I'm putting the Rangers ahead. Devils are, that's not going to be, it's going to be a hell of a series. Point is, if you could guarantee us right now, Devils, Rangers, Islanders, Rangers, oh my God, sign me up for that in a second. And all gets underway Monday. Now, we won't know the actual matchups or schedule, Fleegs, until the
Thursday night.
That's when the final game is when.
Right, so the Islanders wrap up tomorrow, but most of the league will play their final game on Thursday.
Right, so after Thursday or Thursday night, maybe Friday morning, we start to get the actual...
Right, maybe they'll do what the NBA did and put out all the game ones quickly, and then we'll find out the rest of the schedule later on.
So we don't even have the rest of the schedule for the Knicks series yet?
No, they haven't even announced the series that aren't affected by the play-in.
Oh, come on. I mean,
also, the NHL, too, they're starting later. They'll play, Devils-Rangers will be every other day. Maybe there'll be one day where they have 2 games off, 2 days off in between games. The Knicks and the Cavs are going to play 3 or 4 games by the time it takes the NHL each series to play almost the entire 6 or 7. Because the NBA always drags out these playoffs.
Right, they'll be two or three days off.
You forget that they're even on or you don't care anymore.
So the Knicks could play Saturday and potentially like Tuesday.
Saturday, Tuesday, Friday.
I mean, that's ridiculous. You could also have the Knicks playing Saturday and then Monday and maybe the Rangers-Devils Monday as well. So we get 2 playoff games there. Now, for scheduling purposes, let's just say, forget the Knicks for a second. Let's go hockey. Rangers-Devils game 1 Monday, let's say. You're going to go game 2 would be Wednesday, right? Every other day?
Pretty much every other day. I would say there would be 1 game in between in a 7-game series where they'll take 2 games off.
So
remember, the NHL has done it before. They'll throw in a back-to-back in there. They might especially do it for Rangers-Devils because there's no travel.
So I'm trying to figure if, because I want to go to one of these Ranger games, could there be a Saturday or Sunday?
Well, there'll probably be one of them, definitely.
If we do every other, well, maybe not.
They're not going to go Friday to Monday. Just Rangers-Devils, they'll put one of them on the weekend.
Right.
That's for TV purposes, that's a game that gets played. You could be looking at a Saturday or Sunday afternoon game.
I don't care. I'm fine with that. I just want either one of those games, and I'm going to it. So I didn't tell my wife yet, but that's the game that I got to go to. Whatever. I need a home. For me to go to a Knicks or Rangers postseason game, I need a home weekend game. Otherwise, I'm out.
If there was a day where you have Rangers-Devils at noon, Knicks-Cavs at 8, are you going to both?
Boy, that would be one hell of a weekend, huh? That would be one hell of a day. I'll tell you this. I did that in the regular season last year. Did Knicks-Nuggets at noon. Took my nephew and brother-in-law. And then we did Rangers-Blackhawks at night. That's a long day. And that was a regular season, whatever. That's a long day. We were all shot after that.
The stress of these games, too. Then you have to kill 3 hours in between. I mean, listen, it's worth doing to say that.
You did it, yeah.
You did it.
I don't know. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Playoff tickets for the Knicks. Have you looked into it at all?
No. I mean, regular season tickets for the Knicks were absurdly priced.
It's going to be ridiculous. $300 or something like that. It's going to be absurd. And for a crappy seat, probably.
For a team that finished in 5th place in the conference. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. No, I can't. I don't know how much I'm going to be willing to spend on that. I do want to try to go to a playoff game. I just don't know if it's possible. First thing, schedule. Second thing, then tickets and figuring it out. But either way, it's exciting to just be able to watch on TV. Shades of 1994, Knicks and Rangers. And at least each team has a realistic chance. It's not just like the Knicks are squeezing in as an 8 seed or a play-in game here. I mean, they have a shot. They're a 5 seed. They could beat the Cavs. They have at least a shot. Both teams are good going in.
It is crazy, though, that all three hockey teams, including the Islanders, who, if they get in, are a 7 or an 8 seed, have a billion times better chance of winning a championship than either NBA team. Because the two NBA teams are at hard zero.
Well,
instead of a million, maybe I should say infinitely. Because even if the Islanders are at 0.1,
it's still better than
the Knicks at absolute zero.
Well, the Nets are getting, they're going to get beat by the Sixers, right, in the first round. I mean, there's no chance.
Yeah, a lot of Net fans are excited for this series. Like, you're going to have to watch the lazy guy who really started the destruction of your team and then assed off in unceremonious fashion go to a division rival, a city that we hate, and they're going to wipe the floor with you in a first-round series. And Nets fans are excited.
Yeah. Do we have game one for that? Do you know when that one is?
That is Saturday.
A Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, that is Saturday before the Knicks game.
So that's a tough one.
Maybe it's after.
I was telling this before to Rosie a couple hours ago. I have my daughter's second birthday is this weekend, and we have Sesame Place on Saturday. So not only is Sesame Place and like the travel and the family and all that, well, now you got NBA postseason starting. It's going to be an issue for me. I'm going to have to DVR.
You're going to have the Watch ESPN app going on your phone. Nets are at 1 before the Knicks at 6. Atlanta, Boston's in between.
So I'm 100% out on the Nets. I cannot watch that game 1. Now, I could, DVR to watch the highlights and go back and check it out, but I cannot watch that game live. Knicks, I have an opportunity. Because we may be leaving there at 4 o'clock, maybe get back by 6. I don't know. It depends. You know, it depends on how the kids are going and all that stuff. At the very least, I could listen to the beginning of it and catch it home. But I remember, too, you know, it's been so long since I was in it consistently. I'm telling you, I grew up Mets, Knicks, Rangers, Falcons fan. And there's nothing, but it doesn't matter who you root for. There's nothing better than the playoffs. But I was much more into the Knicks than anybody else because they were so good, so consistent. And in the playoffs every year, I would live for these playoff series. And it's been so few times that they've been in the postseason in the last two decades, like half my life, that you forget what it was like in the 90s. A couple years ago, I was in on every possession, like the good old days with the Knicks and Hawks. Unfortunately, it was disappointment. I'm looking forward to diving into the series, man. There's nothing better as a sports fan than the postseason series. And we're going to have that, hopefully, with all three local hockey teams. We're going to have it with both the Knicks and Nets.
And I mean, we're going to have nights with at least two, maybe three playoff games on at the same time. Plus, oh yeah, by the way, the Yankees and the Mets.
Unbelievable. All right. Last year, we had just the Rangers, right? No Islanders, no Devils, no Knicks. Nets made it, but it's the Nets.
That was a very quick exit.
Right. So we had, it was just, that was it. And the Rangers gave us a nice little run, but it was basically Rangers, Mets, and Yankees. Now you're going to have, at the very least, you know, the first round with all these teams here. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
And at least one local team has to make it to the second round.
Correct. We're going to have,
I get if the Devils win the division, then maybe not. But assuming you have Rangers-Devils, somebody's got to advance.
How many teams, if I had to ask you, and then we'll get back to the calls after a break, 877-337-6666. How many teams? Let's say the Islanders get in. You have all five winter sports, winter teams in. How many do you think advance?
I think just one. And I think the really interesting way to set up an over-under there is over under 1.5. Because, listen, we all know the Nets aren't winning.
Right. Could the Knicks?
Somebody has to win from the Metro, the Rangers Devils. Do you think you're getting one of the Islanders or the Knicks to advance?
Right.
Islanders, it'll depend if they, I mean, for them to even have a shot, they have to be playing Carolina. And then do you think the Knicks can beat the Cavs? And right now, I would lean no to both.
Yeah.
I think the Knicks will give you a long competitive series. I just don't think they win it.
What would you put the odds at if you go over under 1.5 minus? If you have, let's say the under 1.5 has got to be pretty big, right?
Because again, they're all still 200? Underdog. Like the Knicks are almost a 2-1 underdog in that series. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with Julius Randle and his uncertainty. But
the fact
you're not going to get great value on betting the under just because I think. That's
what I'm saying.
Right. You would get plus money on the over.
Right. Right. So the under would be minus what, 300, minus something like that, and you
lower than that, but it would the shot would be to take a chance with the over.
I'm probably going to bet these series. Because I just think it's fun to do that. I'm probably going to bet the Knicks in the series. Have an extra added incentive there, rooting interest. Have you checked the series prices yet?
Yeah, last I saw, Cleveland was minus 200.
Wow. You get the Knicks a plus 200?
Well, the Knicks then were plus 175. But again, I think a lot of that has to do with not knowing what the deal is with Randall.
Let me pull it up on my little trusty Superbook Sports app.
Here's a
right
tip.
Here.
Parlay the Sixers series with everything else you like because the Nets have no chance.
You can parlay series?
On some of these books, you can.
I got to see if I could do that on Superbook. The Nets are plus 600. Sixers are minus 900. I got the Knicks at plus 175. You were right. Cavs minus 200. I'm taking the Knicks at plus 175, almost 2-1. Now, here's the other thing that I get into with these series, which could be tricky, Fleegs. Do you do it before or do you wait? I know it's a risk, but let's say the Knicks lose game one. Now you're going to get way better odds, and they still could win the series because it's just game one. Like,
can, but then if they win game one, you're losing a lot of your value.
But
they'll still probably be plus money, but at that point, if they win game one, if it's plus 175 now, you're probably only looking at like plus 125.
Right, but if they win game one, then you wait, assuming they're going to lose game two, and you could get back in again. Probably at what you could have got back in before.
It would be very, very close to the original price.
Right, if they lost game two. So the only way
in most situations, that's true. Where it would become weird with the Knicks is, say, Julius Randle, they announce Randle's coming back game three at the Garden.
Right, maybe that changes.
That could change the price a little bit.
We're known for being polite, so we give you a chance to talk, too. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
On the Fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. The Mets with another lackluster performance offensively. And look, you could pick on Alvarez. You could pick on some of the bottom of the order. We know that they need more there, clearly. But it is the top guys who have not been getting the job done as well. Yankees pound out 11 runs in Cleveland as they even up that series one game apiece. It'll be Clark Schmidt on the mound for the Yanks today in Cleveland in the rubber game. For the Mets, it's Tylor McGill facing Blake Snell, another lefty here the Mets will face. See what that lineup looks like today. Really, for both these teams, Yankees with a makeshift lineup yesterday, and they score the 11 runs. Mets with their pretty regular lineup, a lineup that people are excited about, having Marte back in there, Alvarez in there, and they really didn't do anything with it. 877-337-6666. Nick is calling from State College. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
How are you, Nick?
Doing well, doing well. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about kind of how you were leading off on the top, just the Mets lineup. I mean, like you're saying, I know Escobar and Nito, those are the easy guys to pick on. Tommy Pham, I know he had that base hit up the middle today, which is nice to see, but he hasn't done much. But it really has been the top guys. I mean, Nimmo, what has he been doing? And, I'm sorry, I really like Mark Hanna, but that was embarrassing on that last at bat. So I don't know.
Yeah, what was that? I was watching it from here. He swung, obviously, and got hit by the pitch. And he was trying to say, that he got hit? But he clearly swung before he got hit.
Yeah, and that was so weird. I mean, they took, 7 minutes, I think they said on the broadcast.
So what happened? Did Buck challenge that play?
Fleegs
was at the game. I was watching it while doing a radio show.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I think he was challenging that he got hit, which I don't even know if you can do.
He clearly got hit. He was trying to probably say
it was obvious.
He also clearly swung around. You're right. I mean, it was blatantly obvious. So, look, that was a bad at-bat by Canna, but I don't know if it was more embarrassing than his at-bat when they had the bases loaded early on in the game where, you got a first inning, the Mets had an opportunity, bases loaded, nobody out, Alonso goes down, and then Canna hits into the double play. That was an embarrassing at-bat, too. Canna is a solid ball player. I think he's a great guy, great clubhouse guy. Love his character. He's best suited as a guy who's going to play some left field, play a little center if you need to spell Brandon Nimmo, DH a little bit, and be a seventh hitter. That's what Mark Canha is. He lengthens the lineup because he's a professional hitter in the seventh spot. You can't have him batting fifth or sixth. And the Mets, if Canha's not hitting, look at the bottom of the order. I mean, they brought in Canha and Escobar to be professional hitters. Well, I mean, Escobar hasn't gotten the job done. Escobar's been a bust. Unfortunately, he's been a bust.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, at this point, you can't expect much from him. I mean, you thought the home run the other day might provide a spark, but I think that was just, more just a he's going to get a hit at some point type of thing. So
I mean, I don't know what his problem is, Nick, and thank you for the call. He's hitting a buck 11. Escobar's a good major league player. Is he just washed up? Is he falling off the cliff? Eduardo Escobar may not be, you know, a household name. Guy's a good major leaguer. And he's been bad with the Mets. He had a good month last year. That was more of the player that he's been throughout the course of his career. Escobar, let's see. Let me get some of his numbers here. He is... So he's 34. 34 years of age. Let me just see some of his career numbers here. I mean, I know he's a good hitter, a guy who could hit 20-plus homers. See, 2017, 21 homers. 2018, 23 homers. 2019, Eduardo Escobar led the league in triples, had 35 homers and 118 RBI. Hit 269. I mean, that is a remarkable season. 2020, throw out. 2021, 28 homers, 90 ribbies, 253. I mean, so you're sitting, you probably expect, you're not going to expect the 35 and 118. But let's say you're going over 20, around 80-plus ribbies, and a hit 250. So 2021, 28 and 90. And then 2022 with the Mets, 20 and 69, and a hit 240. What do you got, Fleas? You have early numbers from Escobar?
Well, it's like we all remember Escobar struggled early last year. It was in September when he really came on.
Right.
Because you just mentioned he's hitting a buck 11. What he was hitting last year around this time, and they started later, in the mid-200s, by the end of April, with all of his struggles, he was hitting 253.
Yeah, you'd sign
with an 804 OPS. I mean, right now, that would be worlds better than what he's giving you in 2023.
And that's more to what, I mean, that's his career average. 13 years in the bigs, his career average.
Even when he struggled later on, hitting, you know, 210, 220, that's nowhere close to what he's doing right now.
He should be a 250 minimum hitter. 250 minimum, obviously, he's had better years than that. 20-plus home runs. And by the way, he did end last year with 20 home runs, but only drove in 69 runs with those 20 homers. He should be 20-plus home runs, and he's got to be more around 80. Ribbies. And he closed strong last year. Imagine those numbers. They look much better because he closed strong. You want to have them balanced out a little bit. I think the 28 homers, 90 ribbies is more what the Mets were hoping they would get. You know, let's say 25 homers, 90 ribbies, 250. I mean, that's what you kind of need from Escobar. And he looks right now like he's done. I mean, that's a problem. Again, I know it's only, you know, 12 games in, but it's ugly. 118 is 118. Peter's hitting for hitting. Peter's calling from Connecticut. What's up, Peter?
Put me in, Coach.
Yeah, right. You might be able to post better than a 118 average.
Sal, I only have two questions for you. And by the way, thank you for the opportunity. I don't know of a team that has had a batting champion and refuses to bat him in the top three spots in the lineup. So I'm hoping maybe one of your stat guys can prove me wrong. I can't think of one. But the way the Mets are treating Jeff McNeil without giving him any protection in the lineup is just an abomination.
Well, but this is where he hit last year too, as a batting champion.
Well, no, they put him in the top three a couple of times, depending when injuries were around.
All right, but he's already been in the top three a couple of times with the same thing.
Well, and the second thing is
because here's why though. Let me just explain, Peter, and you definitely have time to get to your second point. I know what you're saying about McNeil. In this lineup, and he did it a lot last year, 5, 6, or 7 is where he's hitting. In this lineup, Nimmo's going to be 1, Marte's going to be 2, Lindor 3, Alonso 4. He's not cracking that unless somebody gets hurt.
Well, and that's where we have a difference because who led the Mets with strikeouts last year?
Who?
Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, I mean, Lindor's also playing every game. By the way, I shouldn't say just if somebody gets hurt, but also in the days, you know, the guys get rest, obviously, where Nimmo's out.
The doubleheader.
Yeah, right.
Right. I get all that. But he's also leading the league in strikeouts right now. Granted, it's a 12-game season so far. But, Sal, with all due respect, you cannot have your cleanup hitter, who normally comes with the baggage of being a higher strikeout. But, I mean, would you put Keith Hernandez in the three spot? Of course. Why would you put Darryl Strawberry in the three spot?
What would your lineup look like? How would you have this Mets lineup?
My lineup would look like, just like you said, Nimmo. I mean, the normal lineup, let's say, without the days off and the fill-in.
All right.
It would be Nimmo. It would be Marte. It would be McNeil. Lindor would bat after Alonzo fifth. And I don't care what you do because nobody else is hitting behind that.
You know, that's an interesting idea, Peter, and thank you for the call. I hadn't really thought about that. Now, I want Lindor up more often than not, so I'm not doing that. However, I think the popular thought is, what if McNeil hit second or third? And you could have Lindor hit, you know, second or third. But you have McNeil on the top of the order and move Marte down a fifth because he's a power bat or projects more as a power bat than anybody that the Mets have been running out there in the five hole. But the reason they're not doing that is Marte likes to be set in his spot as the right fielder and the two-hole hitter. That's it. He's a creature of habit, doesn't want to even look at the lineup card, know you're going to be in there every day, where he's playing, where he's hitting. Some guys are like that. And Buck likes to keep things consistent. However, moving Lindor to the five hole is an interesting idea. Because he could also be a power guy. But I like it the way that it is right now with those first four. They need a five hitter. There's no question about it. I mean, the other argument you can make is just have McNeil hitting third and moving everybody else down. But you want to have Lindor and Alonso up as many times as possible. I guess you could say the same thing about McNeil, but he's not going to be a guy that provides power. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more maybe this team could use McNeil as that third hitter. Nimmo, Marte, McNeil, Lindor, Alonso. You still have an issue where there's not enough protection behind Pete, but at least you get a guy who's going to hit. He'll drive in runs atop the order, get on base. At least you have him in a more prime spot. It's definitely something to think about. You like that idea, Fleegs? Having McNeil hit, let's say, third and moving Lindor and Alonso down a spot?
I would ideally like to hit McNeil higher. It can't be at the expense of Lindor. Francisco Lindor has to be one of your two best players. He can't be hitting fifth in the lineup. It's just way too low.
Well, how about if you just move? The caller said Lindor five. I was saying Lindor four. Just keep him and move him down, and then Alonso five.
I can't. Then Pete's your first or second best hitter. I can't have him hitting fifth.
So how would you do it then?
Well, the one would be trying to have a conversation with Starling Marte and saying, we'll hit you fifth every day. The problem is, like right now, when Marte doesn't play, they'll move everybody else up, and everybody else is fine with that. If somebody else had a day off, and then you moved everybody up a slot, Marte doesn't like that. Marte, you know, being a creature of habit, I would almost wish they would have a conversation with him and say, listen, we'll give you right field every day. You got to be flexible with us on the lineup. Because right now, this team's best lineup is Nimmo, Lindor, McNeil, Alonso, Marte.
Right. Yeah, I could understand that. But it's almost like you can't think of it that way because Marte doesn't want to be moved. Has he hit anywhere else for the Mets other than two-hole, Marte?
I mean, tossing out the wild card first game when he was coming back off the injury, I don't know if he has. Maybe he let off a couple times when Nimmo was out early in the year, but I mean, they put him in that two-hole. And we know he likes it, but again, right now, if it's hurting the team, I have a conversation. Or just live with the lack of power and hit McNeil fifth every game.
Yeah, I don't like that, though. I'd rather have Marte five, McNeil two. I mean, you're talking
But McNeil fifth over Canna or Vogelback or Pham.
Right. Yeah, I get it because they're forcing a five hitter in there and there's not really one. I mean, there isn't one.
The problem is they have a bunch of guys who project as two hitters or three hitters
Or seven hitters. Right. See, they have two hitters. They have seven hitters. They don't have four or five hitters. I mean, Alonso's the four hitter, clearly. Even in the new age baseball, they have an old school lineup.
Well, you could even make an argument, should they go Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, or Nimmo, Alonso, Lindor,
right?
Then Marte, then McNeil. I think you can make an argument that that's better.
Yeah, but
no matter how you arrange Lindor and Alonso, 2-3.
Right, but that's
we know the Yankees do it. They put Aaron Judge is the best hitter. He's second.
Judge Rizzo. Rizzo's not a typical three hitter. Not at all. Strikes out a ton. He's not the best hitter on the team. He's not going to hit for a high average.
Most guys in baseball strike out now.
Right.
Just the way it is. Again, they might be better off saying, all right, Lindor and Alonso are our best two hitters. Here's Nimmo to set the table. Then those two guys.
2-3.
Then Marte McNeil.
Yeah, maybe.
The two guys that, you know, put the bat on the baseball coming up in the RBI opportunities.
The problem is, no matter how you slice it with the first four, it's thin after that. It is thin.
See, I think if Mark Canna hits, if Mark Canna is what he's been his whole career, not this year, but also this year, there's nobody in that Mets lineup outside of Starling Marte whose numbers are acceptable.
Could Beatty be that five hitter eventually?
Eventually, I don't know if it's happening this year, but could Brett Beatty be that six hitter and then Canna
seven?
I do think you can get that.
And then what do you have, eight in that spot?
If Beatty's playing third, you're putting the DH there.
Okay.
And then the catcher.
All right, so Canna in left. So Beatty six at third, Canna seven in left, DH eight, catcher nine.
Yeah. A lot of this will come down to if they can convince Starling Marte to hit somewhere else in the order.
Which I don't even think they're going to do. I don't even think they're going to broach that subject. I would just guess. But he's the one guy who projects as a power bat.
Because he's the one guy who can fit multiple spots. Nimmo has to lead off. You want Jeff McNeil hitting towards the top. Alonso, yeah, he can move to a couple places, but it's really 2-3-4. Same for Lindor. Marte is the one who you could make an argument for going in all of those five spots working.
It's as simple as this. Who do you think's the third best power bat on the Mets?
I mean, over his career numbers, it's been Marte.
I mean, that's it. Who else is there? That's it. Marte's the guy. I mean, Escobar has had, as we mentioned, a couple of big seasons. Mark Canna might be able to give you 20 homer. Who's the guy?
I mean, Escobar looks like a shell of that player, so it's... For right now, it's Marte, yeah.
All right, we'll finish up with your calls on the other side. 877-337-6666. Going until 2 a.m. EJ Stewart will be here. Then, me and you for the next 15 minutes. Sal Acatta on The Fan.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Kind of back on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Got a few minutes before we say goodnight. I can get used to these new evening hours. I got a nice little morning planned, although I should be home. See, this is one of those things. This is whether you want to call it an advantage or disadvantage. That's up to you. But I get home, let's say, 3 a.m. I'll sleep for a nice normal six and a half hours. And then I don't want to call it a mistake because it's not, but for the sake of entertainment purposes, I made the mistake of letting my wife know that I might be available this morning to go to, and I was asking her, hey, what are you doing, you know, Wednesday? Normally it's a non-starter. Like I'm home, but I'm sleeping till noon and I wake up and come back in and do it all again. You know, I got to go to SNY and then I get the overnight. Anyway, so like I'm never there. I'm not a factor during the day. So I was just curious, hey, what are you doing, you know, tomorrow morning, meaning this morning, Wednesday morning? She's like, oh, you know, not really much. You got a little gym class with Samira, our daughter. Okay, you get a little gym class. I was like, hey, maybe I can attend that, which is something I've never done. I went once actually on Halloween. You know, I dressed up and we went and whatever. And she's like, what? Like, if you would have seen the look on my wife's face when I suggested that I might be available to go, it was like she was in heaven. And at that point, I could not disappoint. So she's like, wait, you could go? I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, I don't think I have anything else to do. I'll, you know, sleep till like 9:30. What time's the class? 10? Okay, I'll sleep till 9:30, roll out of bed, go to the class, come back home, go to the gym, and away we go. So I'm turning this newfound time during the morning into, I guess, positive things. Spending more time with the wife and kid. Like I said, depending on how you look at it. Now, single Sal, old school Sal, I'd be sleeping till 10 or 11, maximizing my sleep so I'd be refreshed for another day. Anyway, that's what I got going on tomorrow afternoon. One thing we didn't really touch on at all, the reports of a possible Trae Young trade. The only reason why I even bring it up, well, two reasons. One, we're in NBA playoff season, and the Hawks got the win. They will be in the postseason. They will be the seventh seed taking on the Celtics. Anytime a superstar like that becomes available, it's going to be natural to bring up the Knicks, whether it is the draft picks that they have, whether it is some of the younger players that they have that could be appealing to Atlanta. I don't know if it's realistic or not that the Hawks would consider trading Trae Young. I don't know if the Knicks could give up what it would take to get Trae Young from Atlanta. I do know this. That dude would be a megastar here. Any of those guys, think about it. We talked the other day about villains, whether it's Chipper Jones or Reggie Miller. Those guys would thrive. I mean, they were great in their careers, respectively in Atlanta and Indiana. But, man, they knew what it was like, or they knew the importance of playing in New York. They thrived in that atmosphere as a villain. Imagine if they were able to play for the hometown team. It would have been something special. With Trae Young, now he's not on the Reggie Miller level just yet, but from the playoff series a couple years ago, that was a pretty heated rivalry. I still really don't like him or the Hawks, and I never gave a damn about the Atlanta Hawks one way or another. But imagine Trae Young. Let's just say you could swap R.J. Barrett, R.J. Barrett, Obi Toppin, and some picks for Trae Young. Does that get the job done? And would you do that? I mean, I think you have to. Maybe it takes more. I really don't know. Like I said, I'm just throwing it out there. Ballpark, an idea for a trade. If they don't want R.J. Barrett, fine. I mean, then you're in trouble because R.J. Barrett would be the guy that has to go. And look, I know R.J. Barrett still has some potential. At some point, he's got to realize that potential. And what better way than this first-round series against the Cavs where the Knicks are going to need him? Let's assume Randall is healthy. They still need R.J. Barrett. And if he's not going to turn into that guy, then they have to consider trading him. I think you trade R.J. Barrett. And again, I like his work ethic. Guy wants to be here. Seems like a good dude. But a guy like R.J. Barrett, you can improve or upgrade that position and get an actual guy who could shoot. Trae Young, that's the guy. So I'd be curious to see how that plays out with Atlanta moving forward, where you try to look at the Knicks and say, okay, well, they're good. They've built a nice foundation postseason two of the last 3 years. Have some players now with Brunson being here, developing some of these younger players, whether it's Grimes, whether it's Quickly. Two guys who, by the way, should be untouchable at this point. I don't think you could trade. If you're the Knicks, two untouchables. I mean, obviously, Brunson, you can't trade him either, but you cannot trade Grimes or Emmanuel Quickly at this point. So what does that leave you with? Obi Toppin or R.J. Barrett? And if you can move R.J. Barrett, you would upgrade that spot if you could get a shooter. And you're talking about a shooter of Trae Young's caliber. Forget it. Now, again, I don't know. And I know Dame Lillard's also disgruntled. Let the speculation begin. He's not ready to get into a rebuild with the Blazers. The Blazers messed that whole thing up. They should have traded him a couple years ago. Peak value. We saw the writing on the wall. They're not going anywhere. They missed the playoffs this year. I mean, they're a bad basketball team. They need to strip it down and rebuild. And I respect Dame for wanting to stick it out there, but they needed to strip it down and rebuild. And they just, they didn't do it totally because they're holding on to Dame. He doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. Maybe he could be part of New York. There may be the superstar that shakes free. The idea is trying to get the Knicks to that next level. It's where you look at those top, three, four teams in the East. The Knicks aren't there yet. And isn't it fitting that the Knicks will be playing Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs in the first round? Of course. Of course they are. the one guy that maybe they, you know, should have went a little bit harder for, and he could have taken them to a whole nother level. Be fun to see that first series, first round series play out, but the Knicks are probably one star short of being a legit contender. We'll do more on the Knicks a little bit later on tonight and go around the NBA and preview the series later on when we're back for the 7 o'clock show. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Fleegs, as always. Thanks to Rosie, who helped out before Fleegs. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. I appreciate each and every one of you. See you tonight, 7 p.m. E.J. Stewart is coming up next.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.